Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Why you need to be leery about a House hearing called to protect employees' rights. A Starbucks manager violated federal labor law, so says the NLRB. And today on the show, we check in with the Prince William Education Association and our independent labor voice, Tom Buffenbarger. Welcome to the Tuesday, May 23rd edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on at least six platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. We have two guests on the show today. We're going to start things off with Maggie Hansford. Maggie is the proud president of the Prince William Education Association, the leading public sector union in Virginia, the largest public sector union. Maggie began her presidency at the beginning of COVID, and throughout her time, she said she was able to turn a join just in case you get in trouble club to a strong and thriving union with members understanding their power through organizing. And I want to tell you, she is going to share with us one heck of a union victory. This year, her union won collective bargaining and secured agent for over 11,000 educators in their district. They are now the Prince William Education Association. They are now the largest public sector union in Virginia's history. This is quite significant because there is little to no generational unionism in Virginia. Only about 7% of workers in that state are in a union. And they've been able to achieve what only one other union in Virginia's public schools have been able to do. Maggie says, we organize, we build power with membership, and now we're at the negotiating table for the first time in the history of our county. We'll talk about organizing in the South, which is picking up. Yes, it is. People are realizing the value of a union contract. Virginia law changed in May of 2020 to allow public sector unions to negotiate. So, since that time, they organized over 5,000 school employees, forcing the school board to allow collective bargaining in Prince William County. Website is PWEAVEANEA.org, Prince William Education Association. If you just Google that, you'll find more. Maggie's going to be our first guest. Then we're going to go to our independent labor voice, Tom Buffenbarger, retired general president of the Machinists and Aerospace Workers. We're going to get an update on rail workers' benefits cuts. We talked about this yesterday with Greg Regan on behalf of the Transportation Trades Department of the AFL-CIO. And it was disclosed recently that the trains, and there's no rules or regulations on this, they're a bit too long, like 2 to 3 miles long. And Tom Buffenbarger texted me about that, I want to say about 2, maybe 3 months ago. He is so clued in to what's going on in the rail industry because the machinists are part of the 12 unions that are represented. And apparently this has now come to light, and they're looking at that as far as rail safety, because when you have that long of a train, guess what? Parts wear out. Things go wrong. We also want to make sure you go to that website, nostockbuybacks.org. Over the last decade, the six publicly traded U.S. freight rail companies spent more than $165 billion, not million, billion dollars in stock buybacks and dividends, which is at least $46 billion more than they invested in rail safety. Yeah, we have a problem there. We'll talk about child labor laws under attack. We did a show on this a couple of weeks ago with the Labor Federation in the state of Iowa, And right now, I don't know what they hammered out, but there's a number of states, at least 10 states, which are dropping the ages for kids to work. In Iowa, a kid as young as 16 can serve alcohol, can work on a roof in construction. Talk about an accident waiting to happen. So that more with Tom Buffenbarger as our second guest right here on America's Workforce. Unions in the news, making news. This labor update brought to you by the good folks at Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at BoydWatterson.com. An NLRB judge has found that a Starbucks manager violated federal labor law by unlawfully threatening the lead organizer at a store in Hialeah, Florida. As organizer Will Suarez was heading to a media interview about the Starbucks Workers United organizing drive at his store, the manager, Deron Martinez, asked him to clock in early for a shift. Well, when Suarez declined, Martinez told him he didn't want the campaign to turn into another Memphis, referring to an organizing drive at a store in Memphis, Tennessee, which had resulted in the firing of 7 union supporters a week earlier. NLRB Judge Donna Dawson said Martinez's comment amounted to a threat of retaliation if Suarez continued to speak publicly about the union drive, and ordered Starbucks to cease and desist from threatening reprisals and to post a notice at the Florida store. Now, here's the downside to the story. The union ultimately lost that election. Workers rejected it by a vote of 14 to 12. That was a close one. Meanwhile, the NLRB's general counsel filed a complaint against the University of Southern California, the Pac-12 Conference, and the National Collegiate Athletic Association, seeking to establish new precedent that certain college athletes are protected by the National Labor Relations Act. The complaint alleges that the school and conferences are joint employers of the school's basketball and football players, and that they violated labor law by misclassifying them as non-employee student athletes and interfering with their organizing rights. It alleges that this misclassification was maintained to, quote, intentionally deprive the players of their rights under the act, and that the institutions also infringed on those rights through a media policy requiring the coordination of interviews through the school and a social media policy limiting what players can post online. Now, this comes after a memo in 2021 from General Counsel Jennifer Abruzzo encouraging its regional offices to pursue cases against universities for misclassifying their student athletes. So this would be the first time the labor board considers whether student athletes are employees. So this is certainly one to watch. Meanwhile, an NLRB judge ruled that a Missouri hospital had violated federal labor law when it prematurely stopped bargaining with its workers union before they voted to oust their labor representative. This goes back to a June of 2020, where the maintenance staff at the Research Medical Center in Kansas City, who were represented by the service employees, petitioned to hold a decertification election. Well, the outcome of the election wasn't final until February of last year, but the hospital unilaterally stopped bargaining with SEIU as early as August 2020. The hospital said administrative law judge Christine Dibble violated labor law by refusing to bargain with the service employees, refusing the union facility access, and unlawfully sending flyers out to workers telling them that SEIU had been decertified before the election results were final. So what you're hearing right now is a very aggressive labor board, the National Labor Board. And when Joe Biden took the presidency, that board needed some shaking up. And obviously with General Counsel Jennifer Abruzzo, that has happened. And it's also caught the attention of Republicans on the Health, Employment, Labor, and Pensions Board. And this morning, they held a hearing titled Protecting Employees' Rights, Ensuring Fair Elections at the NLRB. Let me read this statement. This is what they posted going into the meeting today. The NLRB and its general counsel are pursuing an extreme agenda that is undermining employee free choice, burdening small business owners, and unfairly tilting the union representation process in favor of unions. This comes from Robert Good, Republican out of Virginia, and he's chairman of that committee. He went on to say that actions by the agency attempting to strip workers of basic protections like secret ballot elections would do irreparable damage to America's workforce. It's critical that we hold the National Labor Relations Board accountable by curbing its authority and restoring free and fair elections that truly represent the will of employees. By the way, one of the panelists is a staff attorney from the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. There's also some anti-union lawyers, but I do have to say one thing. They did invite one union rep, and that would be Angela Thompson, General Counsel of the Communication Workers of America. So you know where they're going. You know where they're going when they call a meeting, especially when they call it Protecting Employee Rights, Ensuring a Fair Election at the National Labor Board. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to check in with Maggie Hansford, president of the Prince William Education Association. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at uaw.org.
Buildings, bridges, skyscrapers, and more. Structures that are the face of our cities and towns were built by members of the Ironworkers Union. That's why it's important that our workforce of over 130,000 ironworkers continues to be the safest and best trained in the field. With 154 training centers, we invest over $90 million annually in safety and training. We're growing the next generation of union ironworkers. There are so many reasons to put your trust in our ironworkers and their employers. Learn more about us at ironworkers.org.
We're the nurses, firefighters, and claims representatives that help keep our government services running. We respond to natural disasters. We care for our nation's veterans, and we investigate discrimination in the workplace. We are federal and D.C. government workers, and we are proud to serve the American people. Working in more than 70 agencies across the government, we know we can fulfill our mission because our union has our back. Learn more at afge.org. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO.
You'd like to upgrade your fund's vision care, but you need to roll back the clock on the cost. Roll it back to the 70s. iMed offers members 76% average savings versus retail on eye exams, glasses, and contacts. Enjoy similar benefits to an indemnity plan, but with consistent savings and a better experience. Endorsed by the National Labor Alliance, iMed takes a consultative approach to tailor your vision insurance benefits. Learn more at iMed.com/union. Figures based on client data. Visit iMed.com/union for more details.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at usw.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Real simple, AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. Speaking of teachers, let's go into the state of Virginia right now. And joining us on our live line is Maggie Hansford. Maggie is president and chief negotiator for the Prince William Education Association. And she is here to talk about one heck of a union victory. And you got to keep in mind, Virginia is still a right-to-work state. Union density is only 7%. So that's been a struggle. And you know what? When we have a win, we talk about it here on America's Workforce. Maggie Hansford, welcome to America's Workforce. Thanks for joining us. And there's a backstory. I guess one of your co-workers discovered America's Workforce and said, hey, you got to get on that show. Can you tell us what happened there? Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So we have started negotiating here in Prince William, and one of our bargaining team members caught you all and said, hey, we need to share our story on this. So I connected with you all, and I'm so glad that you gave us this opportunity.
Not a problem. Those of you listening, too, just go to awfpodcast.com. We have all the shows archived there. And if you want to be part of the show, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be on the show. We have to screen everybody, obviously. But we try to get as many labor voices as possible. And Maggie, I have to report, we are now heard in at least 49 out of 50 states, also 11 countries. Have listened to America's Workforce, and that's led by Canada, with 9 out of 12 provinces seeking downloads. And that's the beauty of podcasting, so you can listen anytime you want, and that's what it's all about in today's world. So thank you for joining us, and thank you for finding America's Workforce. So let's get into Maggie Hansford here. Talk to me about your union background. Let's start there. I always like to get that message out for listeners on how you got from point A to point B, and then we'll get into this great deal that you were able to secure. So go ahead. Your background, Maggie.
Yeah, so I've been a speech therapist in our schools in Prince William for well over 15 years and a rank-and-file member for a long time, and I am like the new union leadership, well, throughout this country that is deciding, you know what, I'd like to be a part of leading change. And so the public sector ban for collective bargaining was removed in 2020. And so I ran for president and I won. And lucky for me, it was right when COVID began. And so it's been a very long, long road, but we've been able to change our local from inside out. We are definitely member driven and moving in the right direction with securing a contract. So I'm definitely one of those newcomers that came in and rocked a boat or two.
I like that. How did the state of Virginia handle COVID in the schools? Can you reference that?
So we had a different governor at the time. So it was, it was extremely hard. But at the local level, I think most of our decisions were being made. And that's exactly how collective bargaining is for public sector. So the law here just it does state that our locality makes the decision. So we are the Wild West of collective bargaining. So it is not a state mandated right. You do have to get your school board or county board as a public sector employee to grant you the right to bargain. Mm-hmm. And then they determine the rules on how that works. So the localities all throughout Virginia are making different resolutions and ordinances. So it is a wild time to be in labor in Virginia.
So it's my understanding that right in the pandemic, at the start of it, it was in May, I believe, of 2020, the law in Virginia changed, which allowed unions like yours to negotiate. Is that right?
Yeah, the law was originally supposed to go into effect January 1, but due to COVID, Governor Northam at the time pushed it back till May. And so in May, the law did go into effect, and that gave localities, like a local like myself, the ability to navigate through our school board the right to bargain. So we went through the steps of collecting signatures. We collected over 5,000 signatures within 3 months. And so that led us to, working with the school board to approve a resolution, which then moved us to the election that we just had in January.
Now, did your organization, the Prince William Education Association, did you have a hand in changing that law in 2020?
So all of us public sector unions throughout the state worked together to ensure that this was passed. We wanted it not to be at the local level, obviously, to have it be more equitable throughout the state, but it did end up passing that the locality does make the decisions with regards to bargaining.
So right now, your union won collective bargaining and secured agent for over 11,000 educators in your district, and you're now the largest public sector union in the history of Virginia. That is quite an accomplishment.
Right?
Can you give some details? As I know you worked really hard, but this is a call to action to a lot. We have a lot of listeners in states like Virginia. We're growing that listener base in a lot of the right to work states, and they probably would like to hear from someone like you on how you did it, as far as and very grassroots. I know that, but can you give us kind of a roadmap to your victory? Is that possible, Maggie?
I don't know. I think that it all boils down to educators throughout history were used to jumping through hurdles and working around bureaucracy that isn't what's best for our students and staff. And so we were used to hard fights. And so when we started this, it was a very small group of educators that knew we deserved better. And we built upon that, having, great conversations. But really, this all boils down to quality of life and a livable wage for all of us. So we were able to work together with other public sector unions in Prince William. We started a labor caucus within our county, and we all decided to come together. And so we've all been working extremely hard to support each other. But truly, it was a historic and still is a historic moment for all of us to be at the table for the first time in history for over 11,000 employees to secure fair and meaningful contract is a little bit to have on my shoulders. But, we're doing a heck of a job up through here, and we understand that, there will be some challenges, but we've definitely faced some challenges throughout this story of our getting to the table. So really just breaking it down to collective bargaining is we pitched the idea that shouldn't everybody have a seat at the table with regards to your profession? And, who doesn't know what students need more than our educators who are in the classrooms and our bus drivers who are, safely taking our students to and from home? So we worked together, and this election was secured with two units with our certified employees. We won that election with over 90%, and our classified employees, we won over 80%. So we're extremely proud of the educators and school employees, not only believing in collective bargaining, but believing in all of us. So it's been a great ride.
Oh, yes, it has. There's no doubt about that. But I'm sure there were some, you mentioned challenges, and I also want to do a shout out, if you can maybe collectively bring all the public sector unions to the table here that helped you through this process. But right now, when you do a union drive, there's always people. There's the anti-union, the right to workers come out and they say, unions are the worst thing that could happen. They take your money. They don't do anything. They're too political. Did a lot of that happen in all of this?
So organizing, Virginia is a southern state, and we don't have the generational unionism that a lot of other states have. So we don't have those personal stories from workers who have their mom in a union and their dad in a union, and that's how they secured health care for their family and a livable wage, and that's how they were able to afford to be able to go to college. We don't have a lot of those strong stories. So really our biggest challenge was even understanding that you do have a right, and what a union has the ability to do is, that was our, you know, just being able to communicate the possibilities of that. A huge challenge for us is within the resolution that our school board adopted, we did have a 50% threshold on the election. So we had to not only secure the majority votes, but we had to get the majority of those unit members, those employees, to actually participate in the election.
Gotcha. Maggie, can you stay with us for another segment here on America's Workforce?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah, I like good stories. I want to keep talking about good stories. Maggie Hansford joining us on our live line today. She is the proud president of the Prince William Education Association that recently won collective bargaining and secured agent for over 11,000 educators in their district, now the largest public sector union in the history of Virginia. That is monumental. We'll continue with Maggie later in the show. We'll check in with Tommy Buffenberger, our independent labor voice, former general president of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. Back in a few.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
From the Golden Gate Bridge to the St. Louis Gateway Arch, the Sears Tower, and just about every building, bridge, and structure in between, our cities and towns wouldn't be the same without ironworkers. With over 3,000 contractors employing more than 130,000 highly trained ironworkers and 20,000 apprentices, the Ironworkers Union stands ready and able to shape the future of our skylines. Learn more at ironworkers.org. Ironworkers, the sky's the limit.
Hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland at 216-881-1802. Call Music Talent of Cleveland as your dependable source for professional musicians in Northeast Ohio. Union musicians add harmony to weddings, elegance to parties, and uplifting music for all events. Music Talent of Cleveland contracts solo and ensemble musicians as well as bands and orchestras for single engagements. So hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland today. 216-881-1802.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at cwa-union.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on at least six platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora and Stitcher, when you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next portion of the show, America's Workforce, is sponsored by iMed. Switching to managed vision care may save your fund money and deliver a better experience. So do this. Go to imed.com/union and you will learn a whole lot more. Before we rejoin our first guest on the show, just want to do a shout out here to the state legislature in Illinois. Last week, they successfully cleared Bill 3129, House Bill 3129, which mandates employers to include in job listings a salary range and a broad description of benefits. Now, if the governor, J.B. Pritzker, signs this into law, which I understand he will, Illinois will be joining a growing trend of pay transparency laws, which were passed last year by several states like California, New York, and Washington State. All very pro-union states, I might add. The laws are intended to improve pay equity, helping marginalized workers avoid being underpaid and closing wage gaps among racial and gender groups. So congratulations to the state legislature. I always say elections matter. And when you get pro-worker candidates running a respective state, I talked about this yesterday in Minnesota, where they banned captive audience meetings. And also they're protecting workers in warehouses like Amazon, which has ridiculous injury rates. And that governor comes from an education background. That's Tim Walz in the state of Minnesota. Let's go to the state of Virginia. Back to Virginia now. Maggie Hansford joining us on our live line today, and she's president and chief negotiator for the Prince William Education Association. And if you're just checking in to the show right now, their union won collective bargaining, and they are the secured agent for over 11,000 educators in their district. And now they are the largest public sector union in the history of Virginia. So, Maggie, all good stuff, but we got to get that first contract. Where do we stand right now? I hear there's a couple of meetings that have gone on so far. Can you fill us in?
Yeah. So what is maybe one of the only good things about, you know, navigating this from the ground up is that we get to create the first contract. So what we're attempting to do is, as we all understand through COVID, we all learned about technology and the ability to have our meetings be transparent and open. And so we are working right now to secure open bargaining, because we know that it's not only important for the 10 of us that are sitting at the table, but we're securing contracts for a lot more than 10 of us. So we're negotiating right now with the division management to ensure that this is not a closed bargaining year for us, that we are able to, you know, make sure that our employees have the ability to observe and see how their contract's being built.
Maggie, are you at liberty to talk about some of the issues that you're going over right now? I would imagine wages, benefits, anything you can add to that?
Yeah, we are not and will not sign an NDA throughout the negotiation process. This will be open for us to have conversations like this. So right now we're discussing employee rights, something in Virginia that is very needed and wanted. So ensuring a safe work environment for our employees, and then hopefully down the road we will engage with conversations with regards to wages and benefits.
How would you describe so far the talks going on? Are they pretty productive then?
I think that the honeymoon phase is over. we are committed to bargain in good faith, and we hope that the division management continues to do the same.
Okay. You described it perfectly. We'll see what happens. Is there any timetable here? When would you like to get this wrapped up? I don't know if that's possible to say.
October is our goal.
Okay.
To have a good, fair, meaningful contract moving to the school board for approval.
Well, Maggie, the very fact that you're making history over there, the largest public sector union in Virginia history. Are other people knocking on your door here and saying, man, what did you do over there? How did you accomplish this? I know you still don't have that first contract, but is anybody calling you and asking for advice on what you did?
Yeah, and, you know, it all boils down to organizing and having a good, strong group of friends. I give a shout out to the president of SEIU in Virginia, David Broder. He's been very amazing to us and helping us in Prince William and throughout the state, as well as our good friends in the Police William Professional Firefighters have also secured bargaining, and they're moving to the table as well.
Well, Maggie, thanks for sharing your story here. Obviously, you got a lot of good people over there in Virginia working for the common good. You want to raise those wages. You want the benefits. You want people to be safe on the job. And it's good to have a collection of unions that were supporting you in this historic victory in the state of Virginia. Again, a right-to-work state and only 7% union density in the state of Virginia. So thank you so much. Any advice for those listening right now? If they're involved in a similar drive, what would you say to them, Maggie?
Just don't give up. Just keep going. And you will get there. It is not meant to be easy, but you'll get there.
There you go. Maggie Hansford, thank you for joining us, President and Chief Negotiator of the Prince William Education Association. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, our independent labor voice, Tom Buffenbarger, back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialist, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
You'd like to upgrade your fund's vision care, but you need to roll back the clock on the cost. Roll it back to the 70s. iMed offers members 76% average savings versus retail on eye exams, glasses, and contacts. Enjoy similar benefits to an indemnity plan, but with consistent savings and a better experience. Endorsed by the National Labor Alliance, iMed takes a consultative approach to tailor your vision insurance benefits. Learn more at iMed.com/union. Figures based on client data. Visit iMed.com/union for more details.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Ironworkers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
A great union requires a reliable election system. Survey and Ballot Systems is a trusted election partner with more than 30 years of expertise in managing union elections. By partnering with SBS, your union can ensure it gets an auditable process and a high level of customer service. SBS is here to help you conduct your union vote securely, transparently, and with trust building always in mind. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Real simple, AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency, always connecting people with employment, good benefits. ulagency.org is the website you want to go to. All right, let's go to just outside Washington, D.C. Tommy Buffenbarger, our former general president of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, and for the last 5-6 years, he's our independent labor voice, which means he likes to talk about anything that's going on. And I'll tell you, there's a lot to talk. We got the debt ceiling. We got child labor laws under attack, rail workers benefits, airline industry. There's a couple of airlines that are talking about striking. American said they're not going to do that. They have a tentative contract agreement. But when it comes to politics, now, the governor, I don't know what's in the water in South Carolina. Those of you listening will remember the time when Tom, when he was general president of the Machinists, the governor of South Carolina, Nikki Haley, who now wants to be president, said, if you have a company that's represented by a union, don't come here. We don't want you here. And this is when they lured Boeing over to South Carolina, which has the lowest union density in the country. Tommy, now what did the governor in South Carolina say?
Oh, Flash, I'm at a loss for words now. A governor of South Carolina yesterday, a guy named McMasters, made the comment he wanted Democrats to become so scarce in his state, people would have to hunt them with dogs.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, it sounds like a laughable comment, but this guy wasn't smiling when he gave that speech. There is something fundamentally wrong with the mindset in South Carolina when it comes to public engagement, allowing people to debate the real issues of the day. And his idea of a successful political party is when you totally eliminate any opposition. That's a day the state dies. And, you know, it goes back. All of this is rooted back into the Civil War era. You know, they were the first state to secede from the Union. And I'm kind of thinking now, Flash, maybe they should go.
Yeah. You know what? I got into, this is a couple of months ago, my brother-in-law turned me on to Heather Cox Richardson. And she does a blog. Just Google her name. And what you said about the Civil War, she brings up all the time. She kind of paints a picture of America back then in the 1850s, 1860, and compares it to what's going on today. It's fascinating. And she does it in a very short blog. So you might want to check her out. Those of you listening, she is one heck of a writer. She's a history professor at Boston College. And I think she does a couple of commentaries on some of the cable shows. Heather Cox Richardson. But yeah, you got to wonder what's going on. And I'll tell you, if you don't mind, I'd like to get your perspective on these debt ceiling talks, because we're getting down to the wire. And we've been down this road before. It seems like it's a game of chicken, don't you think?
This being the year 2023, our Congress has been around for 50 years almost.
Yeah.
And this is the best we can do at this point in time, is to have these games that are played about the budget of the United States and our spending, and scaring people to death. And I'm talking about the sick, the elderly, the hurt, anybody that has a mortgage, anybody making a car payment, anybody that has a job they're proud to have and want to keep it. All of this gets threatened on schedule because Congress plays games with this thing called the debt ceiling. It should be eliminated. There should be no ceiling. They should debate and have their arguments when they talk about spending programs. So things that we had planned to talk about today, like railroad benefits, people may not know, for all the drama that's occurred on the railroads in the last couple of years, a pandemic and the threat of rail strikes, et cetera, railroad workers, by congressional action, had benefit cuts implemented on them in the last debt ceiling fight. And this cuts the unemployment benefits, it cuts their sick benefits and everything. This is all done by Congress, not by negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
And to see them play this out again, and one of the things the Republicans are wanting is, well, we can save money if we just cut back on some of these entitlement programs.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. They're talking about Social Security, railroad retirement. They're talking about, for rail workers, their health benefits and their unemployment benefits. They call them entitlement program. You know, we pay for that. It comes out of our paychecks.
Right.
It's not an entitlement unless you want to recognize if you pay for something, yes, you are entitled to it. And so we hurt the people of America so politicians can play games, and for whatever purpose. We talked about the governor of South Carolina and how backwards that state seems to be. And I can't help this time of year, because we're coming up to Memorial Day. I always think about my dad, my grandfather, my uncles, all served in World War One, like my grandfather did, or World War Two, like my dad and his brothers. This is not the country they laid it on the line for. And it's there, we're losing something in America. I will agree with that. And it's about caring for one another.
Yeah.
And doing the right things. And, Flash, I just can only hope people come to their senses on this debt, this current debt ceiling crisis, because otherwise, by this time next month, we will have a country in a world of hurt if they allow it to default.
Major chaos. Major chaos. You know what bothers me is the representative, whether that person is in the House or the Senate, calling for cuts to Social Security when it does not affect them. They're in a different retirement program, not Social Security. They don't contribute to Social Security, but they want to cut it for everybody else. There, don't you think there's something wrong with that equation, Tom?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you stop and think about it, nowhere in the founding documents of our country is there any provision for Congress or the president or anybody else to have a pension plan. That all came about later, actually relatively recently, when Harry Truman retired virtually penniless, and Congress gave him a stipend to help him cover their post-retirement, post-presidency retirements, and then Congress certainly found out, you know, I came here to serve a couple years or maybe 4 years, but I've made a lifetime career out of this. I need a pension plan.
Mm-hmm.
And they created their own system. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, and all the listeners, their system is guaranteed.
Yep. Yep.
It's, the people need to become aware of what all, if they want to cut spending, let's cut out or cut back on the benefits some of these elected officials who decide all of this.
Exactly.
Let's give them a whack.
The rail workers, you talked about them yesterday with Greg Regan from the Transportation Trades Department. That benefit cut that you referred to is 5.7%, which has gone into effect, And this is for workers who are under stress right now. I mean, look what we went through back in the fall with the contract talks and all that. And they are getting, I guess, some more sick days, but it's slow. And I want to salute you. I mentioned this at the top of the show. Tommy texted me a couple of months ago about the length of that train in East Palestine, Ohio. And it's finally come to light that we have trains going across America that are way too long, a couple miles long. And Tom, I can't believe this. There's no rules or regulations on this. They can do what they want. I didn't know that. I mean,
well, Flash, let me tell you, it's deadly in some neighborhoods, as they've now shown. There are kids who walk to school in some neighborhoods across America, including Ohio, who sometimes crawl under a stalled or stopped train at an intersection to get to school in the morning. The Washington Post had pictures of it. There's something wrong with this. Why would we shut off an intersection? Who knows? Maybe an ambulance has to come to your house and take an emergency case. But they can't get there because a train is stopped so long that it's blocking critical intersections. Something's wrong with this picture in America.
Okay. Okay. So that kid is trying to crawl through a train between two cars to get to school.
They're actually going underneath a car on a railroad intersection where a street and a sidewalk go across. They're crawling underneath a stopped train at that intersection to get to school on time.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that kid is okay to work at 16 or 14 years of age. State of Iowa said a 16-year-old can serve alcohol or maybe work on a roof in construction. What's going on with child labor laws here, Tom?
Well, listen, Nebraska, Iowa, and Arkansas, you can send a 14-year-old kid in to clean up a slaughterhouse at night. Who wants their kid in all of that? And this, if this doesn't beg a big expose, most of the kids they hire are recent emigres to the United States. They hire these kids who are desperate for money to support their families and themselves. And these kids, they may go to school during the day and work all night cleaning up bloody floors in a slaughterhouse. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the daughter of Mike Huckabee, a guy who is very proud of the fact that he's an ordained minister, can condone this and support it. And I'm referring to Sarah Huckabee Sanders, President Trump's former press secretary. I just am blown away that this is how far down we've come in the view of some of these governors in our states, that it's okay to put kids to work. I'm not talking about the kid who occasionally bales hay for the farm next door. I did that. I was always fortunate to have people, neighbors, that really looked out for us, too. But to send kids into slaughterhouses to serve alcohol in bars and in restaurants, I mean, really?
Yeah.
This is unbelievable. And I've got another complaint about this. When all of this was coming down, especially in Arkansas, somebody asked the question, and I never saw an answer, is where were the churches in this?
Good point. Tom, in general, you have to ask the question, where is the public outcry on all the issues we talked about today? I don't know. We have such a confusing media landscape and so much misinformation out there. I don't know if people are just immune to all of that or just don't want to speak up because of the political divide in America. But you know what? That's why we have this show called America's Workforce, and we're getting more and more listeners every day because of people like you, because of the guests that we bring to the show. So I'm just going to leave it on that note. You take care, my friend. Any big plans for the holiday weekend here?
Just going to kind of enjoy it. We're supposed to have some decent weather, Flash, so I'm hoping the pollen goes away and takes my allergies with it. And I'll enjoy my grandkids, and we'll have a big cookout.
Amen, brother. Yeah, I'm with you on the pollen. Okay. You take care. We'll talk to you next month, okay, brother?
Okay. Best to you and all the listeners, Flash.
And that'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow we check in with the Heat and Frost Insulators and the Maine Labor Climate Council. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. And be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.